Welcome to the Retro Asylum, the UK's number one retro gaming podcast. We are here to celebrate the beloved game of Super Skid Marks for the Amiga CD. I'm so used to Chris and Matt's interrupting that it's really weird having it so quiet. Who's with me today?
Nobody.
Nobody.
No, nobody wanted to come.
Where's Chris? Chris is in Japan. Where's Mads? Hiding under a rock somewhere in Denmark. I don't know. But here we are. I've got Dean also. What's up, Dean?
I'm here. I'm cold. This is a last minute job for me, wasn't it? It's please come on because we ain't got much to talk about.
Yeah, what are we going to talk about? apparently this is our fault, gentlemen, that Skidmarks made it. Super Skidmarks. We don't want to tarnish Skidmarks in general, but yeah, we're more to come with Skidmarks. We're kind of excited to talk about it, aren't we? What about you, Steve? Got Steve with us?
I can't wait, man. I can't wait. I mean, you know you've picked an absolute stinker when one of the club books a trip to Japan to get away from being on the episode.
Yeah, he was out. Yeah.
And like Mads has given us every excuse under the sun. He's like, literally, I've going traveling. I've been in the woods. Dogs at my homework. Like everything, every single thing has been thrown in, man. So we've been, to be fair, it's kind of our three, the three of us here now, it's kind of our fault, sort of, a little bit. Because in fairness to us, we were asked to give some suggestions for the CD32 Game Club episode, which we did in the goodness of our hearts. And then, like, the public insanely voted one of my choices to number one, and everyone absolutely hates it. And then the Game Club proper hosts, apart from you, Mark, who's also a proper host, have literally fled. They have literally just toys out of the pram. We're not being on this. We're not involved. We're out. We're done. We're not playing. So they've gone. They've abandoned us. Mark's stood his ground.
Yeah, I'm here.
Me and Dean have been roped back in because essentially it's kind of our fault, apparently.
So did you guys get to listen to our 3D Nintendo 64 picks? Did you guys get a chance to listen to it yet?
Not properly.
Oh, so you're not going to be able to defend all the slagging off they did of you guys. I don't know.
Oh, well, I can well believe it with our colleagues. I mean,
we were helping out. Like, so literally, like well, Mads.
They
like,
did when, a runner from that episode, didn't they? They were supposed to.
Yeah.
They were supposed to do that.
So,
bit.
Yeah, in the chat, like before the CDT32 episode, but before we narrowed the picks down, which is what we did on the other episode when we were together, before that, like Mads just stuck in the chat. Can you guys give us a couple of suggestions for our CD32 episode? So we're like, yeah, no problem. So we chucked a couple of games in. And like, to be fair to myself, I didn't play any of them.
Play them anyway, honestly.
No, but I'll be honest, right? So I haven't played much CD32 at all, ever. I mean, it's one of the few Amiga systems I've never played. So what I did is I jumped on YouTube and I looked up top 10 Amiga CD32 games. And I thought, what I'll do is I'll pick something if I know what it is. Like, if I can go, oh, I know that, that's supposed to be good. So two of the games that come up for me was Banshee and Skidmarks, Super Skidmarks. And I thought, that's a surefire winner. Everyone used to rave about Skidmarks, even though I can't remember it and I didn't play it much on the Amiga. I remember at the time people raving about it. So I thought, this is easy. I'll pick Super Skidmarks because everyone will do some multiplayer online stuff with it and have fun. And I'll pick Banshee because it's a great shooting up. So I'm on to a winner, no problem. They're my picks. Off we go. And then it's turned out that everyone's voted for Skidmarks and it's absolutely awful. So that's what happened from my point of view. What about you, gents? How did this mess unravel for you guys?
I've just ignored everyone. I've stayed away.
Yeah. I think Dean got roped in because we decided we were going to do the short, and I don't remember what happened to Chris and Mads that episode, but obviously, no, well, we recorded the Castlevania one. That's what it was.
Yeah, and you're supposed to do the nomination straight after that in the same episode, and they forgot
laziness.
To do it.
Laziness.
Yeah, I don't know what happened, but here's the thing. I'm more of a shooter guy than a racer guy. And I think, as I remember, Steve was trying to convince me to pick Banshee because he's like, it's better single player experience. And I thought, you know, maybe it'd be better. It'd be really fun to try Amiga Live, and it'd be fun to talk about these things and the different kind of concepts that Super Skidmarks has. But apparently, Steve, when we were trying to play Amiga Live a little while ago, he found out he got a PM also from, so we have more apologies.
Let me just find it. So Blake, I'm going to hold my hands up right now. I am awful at Discord. I really am. And I really should get involved in it. I love the fact we've got loads of people in there. It's so cool. However, whenever I go in it, it's just a mess to me. I just can't work out what I'm looking at, who's talking to who. There's loads of red dots all over the place. Unread thing there, unread thing. I just like, oh my God. So I can't cope, right? So anyway, I logged in today because I think it was earlier on today, or it might have been yesterday, I can't remember. We put in there, can you send us some reviews of skid marks to let the game club people vent their thoughts on it, which we'll include in a bit. But as I'm in there looking about, I see some more red dots about messages directly to me. So I thought, what's this? So I clicked on it, and Phoenix said 80. He said, hi, Steve. Feel free to tell me to butt out if you wish, but I just wondered if you needed any help setting up the Super Skid Marks competition in the game club. I just listened to the latest podcast and could see that you kind of got lumbered with this task before the game won the vote. I'd be happy to help you organize this if you like. Maybe a knockout competition over the month or a fast lap competition on three different tracks. Anyway, let me know. He sent that a month ago.
And you haven't read it?
I haven't read it. I've only just seen it now. So I want to say sorry to him because that's a lovely offer and that would have made the whole thing much better. But I've only just read it. So he probably thinks I'm an idiot and he'd be right. But
so, either that or he's probably like, man, Steve hates me. He doesn't want me to help. No,
Steve's such an arse, man. Like, I sent him a message.
Totally
and
blanked me.
He just blanked me. I'm like, I was going to help. He can do one from now on. So I'm sorry, man. I'm really sorry because that was a lovely gesture. That would have been great. Yeah. So I've got nothing else I can say about I'm sorry, man. And thank you for the offer. And I definitely would have took you up on it had I logged in and read it. And I'm really crap at Discord. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. This is a disaster.
Blake, so there you go. Love Blake. Blake's one of the hosts of the movie podcast, the Retro Movie Club that we've been going
Blake's
on about.
Blake's a top guy, man. And that's poor form on my behalf. But like I say, I didn't see it until now. I had another message off someone from 2 weeks ago just saying, I hope your job's okay. Big fan of the show, and I heard about the PlayStation stuff, and I hope your job's okay. And it is, fortunately for me. But I didn't see that, so it's been 2 weeks for me to reply and go, thanks. I'm crap at Discord, really bad. Maybe I can get some lessons.
You just have to look at it once or twice a day.
And kind of stay involved. Caught up. Man, what you need to do, guys, is drop a message. Drop a message into our Telegram every now and then and go, Steve, you need to log into Discord and check some messages. Get me in there more frequently because I am bad, really bad, and I'm sorry.
When you're messaging Steve, and this is to our listeners, tag either Mark or myself in, or Mads or Chris.
And they'll tell me
who's on it a bit more regularly.
Yeah.
I've got to admit, I'm quite guilty with Discord. Because I'm not sat at a computer all day, if you do miss a load of messages, it's a lot to catch up on in one go. Unlike a more traditional forum, which I'm more used to, you know, where it's just easier to read, I think. But our listeners wanted a Discord channel, and that's what they've
got.
It's
cool. It's so cool, man.
It's great.
There's hundreds of people in there. They're all lovely. Everyone's really nice. There's loads of chat. When I do go in and look, they're all having a good chat about stuff and everything's great and they're all nice people. And it's like, and then I'll drop a message in like I did yesterday saying, can you drop some reviews? And I'm surprised anyone answers me because of how bad.
Well, especially after picking this game.
And after picking, I think they must have thought, what do you want? You've done this. This is your fault. That's what I think they thought.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry.
It's good stuff. It's all good. But before we get into skid marks, let's have a little catch up with you guys. I mean, we were here a month ago, going over the votes, and you know, Dean's done some cool stuff. You guys want to talk about something that I haven't done yet, which I'm interested to hear anyway. But yeah, let's go on, Dean. Let's hear about what you've been doing.
Well, last episode I was, well, last episode that we were all on, I was banging on about getting a Star Wars yoke or possibly the arcade one-up cab. And after that episode, I was Googling and I noticed I had 30% off on Glenn's Retro Show's website because I'd ordered the Ikari Warriors spin joystick a few months back, which I've got, and it's great. So I thought, sod it, I'm going to treat myself. So I ordered the GRS yoke, and I'm thinking I'm going to have to build a box or something to attach it to because, you know, it comes on like a metal plate, so you'd have to screw that to something just to use it. You can't just sit a Star Wars yoke on your lap. It'd need a box or something to screw onto. And that's what I was going to do. And then I was really bad. I got a bonus at work, and I'd already kind of promised my missus I'd put the money towards a holiday, but I didn't. I ordered the arcade one-up cab.
This sounds like just an apologetic episode around, right?
It'll probably lead to divorce. That's why.
Yeah. Does she listen to the show?
No, she won't listen to the show.
You're good. You're all good.
As long as no one tells her, which there's always a chance. So, yeah, I ordered the cab, and that was through Amazon. Because what happens, if you remember, I said that it was up for £525. Well, the day after the podcast was recorded, it went back up to 600 and something. So I thought, right, well, I won't be buying that. And then a few days later, someone messaged me and said, Dean, it's gone back down again. And that's when I bought it. I thought, it's the only chance I'm going to get. So, yeah, it turned up on a Wednesday. I didn't have time to build it. And on the Saturday morning, I'm putting it together, and there's a knock at the door, and the GRS yoke turned up. So I didn't even put the standard yoke that comes with it. That just went straight, stayed in this box, and that's in a cupboard over to my left. And yeah, I've put it all together. I'm really happy with it, I've got to say. I've been knocking arcade one-up cabs since they come out on the show, and to anyone who will listen to me saying, no, they look flimsy, they're tiny, they're horrible. And they are. I think if this had been any other cab, I'd probably be disappointed. But with it being Star Wars, and it is quite a pretty cab, it is small, it's on the riser, it's just big enough for me to play without getting any back complaints, and it's got the GRS yoke on it, which I think makes all the difference, because that is made out of metal, it's weighty, I've not had any problems with that whatsoever. It wires in nicely. The GRS yoke actually comes with a connector for the proper Atari cab, the original, a USB connector, and the arcade one-up wiring. And it's all on three different connections, and you just choose what one you're going to use. It's straightforward, and yeah, done it all. Very happy with it. One of my friends come round, Paul Higgins, who also listens to the show, and he's got quite a collection of arcade cabs. He's got Sega Rally, the Proper Machine, and a few jammers and what have you. And he ordered one as well, and he put these together today. So, you know, they're not. This particular one isn't as bad as I thought it'd be. In fact, I'm quite impressed with it. The only thing is, Return of the Jedi, which isn't a vector game, looks horrible on it because it's an LDC. Yeah, LCD display.
Yeah.
Get it right in a second. And it just looks far too blocky for my liking. There is an option for scan lines, but they don't look right. It looks horrible. So that won't be getting much play because it's really unpleasant to look at. But the vector games do look nice on it.
So when your kid said, Dad, are we still going to Spain? Did you go, no, but I'm going to Alderaan. See you later.
We can still go to Spain. We just won't be spending as much. No, look, I've got I've got bits and pieces which, as I've mentioned on a few past episodes, they're not getting used, so they're going up for sale. You know, the CD32 is worth quite a bit. I've got an Amiga 1200. I'm going to get rid of that. Probably all my 8-bit computers, apart from the Spectrum, will go, because they are just gathering dust. There's no point me keeping them. So I can get money back, you know, that's not too much of a problem. It's just, as you know, I don't like putting stuff on Facebook because you get a load of idiots knocking at your door, or all the scammers. Is it still available? I can't collect it. I can send a courier around. You know, do you take bank transfers and all that? No, I want cash. It's just...
Do you know what I could do? And this is just a thought. There's a retro gaming site shop in... It's not that close to mine, but there's a guy... What he does is he does a raffle. But right. What he does is he says, I'm raffling... I've seen the all sorts. Commodore 64. I won one years ago, Commodore 64. But he does an Amiga, Commodore 64, Xbox, new PS5, whatever it is. And he basically goes, there's 100 tickets and it's £5 a ticket. And when I've got the 100 and everyone's PayPal'd me, I do it live. I pick one. I tell you, find out who's won. I do it live on the screen and go, you've won. And what's your address? I'll post it. But you know, he gets like 500 quid for the item. But it only costs the people a fiver. And you get paid before it's done. You know what I mean? It's like, because send your PayPal.
I wouldn't want someone saying, oh, you've rigged it, so you pick out someone's name or something. You know what people are like, so...
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I get that. But like,
it's
when he's done
idea,
it,
but yeah,
it's just he gets really good money. But like from me, I won a Commodore 64 off him years ago, and he just and it had all sorts with it: joystick, games, cassette deck, it had the whole lot, and it cost me a fiver. And he did it live, and it's like, yeah, it was like that's and people put more in. People sometimes put two or three bids in, you know,
yeah,
15 quid or whatever. But he got 500 quid for that thing. And like no one got ripped off because it cost me £5.
Yeah.
That just sounds like a lot of work. That's not for, I don't think I could do that myself just because I'm too lazy.
Well, it's funny.
Go on. Sorry.
I was just going to say about Facebook. This week, I mentioned I picked up a PC. I've done a house clearance at work. People were emptying this family, they've got two garages. They wanted it all clear. And some of the stuff that came out of there was quite valuable. And two of the things were, well, one of them was a Logitech G29 steering wheel and pedals, which was practically brand new. Even the housekeeper said to me, that's not even 6 months old. I said to him, are you sure you want to get rid of it? Yeah, don't want it no more. Okay, so... I brought it home. I was going to give it to my boy, but he hasn't got any driving games for his PS5. And I thought, okay, well, I'll sell it. Mm-hmm. Need the cash. And I only put it on eBay yesterday. All I've had is five different scammers contact me, trying to con me for it. You know, selling stuff is just so much grief.
It is. It's true.
You know, so...
Did you do it on eBay or Facebook?
No, this was Facebook.
I will go
down the eBay route if I don't have any luck with Facebook. I think the thing with Facebook, especially it's where I live as well, because I'm in the middle of nowhere, people don't want to travel here. It's, you know, 20 minutes from anywhere, and for a lot of people that's too far. So I get messages, can you deliver? And will you take so much less? And
they're a pain in the neck, man.
Yeah, they are.
I saw that Pow Kitty, you know, the one that explodes.
Yeah.
And I put it on Facebook Marketplace. And I swear to God, I was getting message after message after message. But it's so many people just messing you about. And I put it on for like, it wasn't even much. I think I put it on for like 50 quid or 40 quid or something.
Yeah.
And like someone will message you and they'll go, so what's the lowest you'll take? And I was like, 35. Okay, will you take 30? Why ask?
Yeah.
What was the point in asking me that?
I know. No. This is,
will you deliver it? No.
This is why I've got a shed full of stuff that I don't use at the time. It's because selling it is aggro.
Oh, it is. You have to sort of sift through the messages now. What I'll do is I'll see a bunch of messages come in, and then I'll click and I'll go to their profile. And if like they've never posted anything and they've been like, you know, they've got no mates and there's not, I'm like, nah.
Yeah, you know it's a scam.
Yeah, you're no chance, mate. No chance. Yeah. So, yeah. But, mate, you should get some decent cash back for all that gear. It's just going to be, like you say, selling it.
It takes time as well. But, yeah, I've got a few days off this week. So, this afternoon, I checked, like I say, the Amiga CD32, which I'm going to sell. I checked it all over, make sure it's working, done a video of it. I'll have to box that up during the week, run it to the post office, get it weighed, because I don't know how much stuff costs to post. And I've sold stuff before. It's funny, I've done the same thing. I took it to the post office. They've told me so-and-so. So that's what I've charged on the auction, you know, for the postage. Mm-hmm. And when my wife took it to the post office, they charged her £1 less. And I remember one guy, he started messaging me, "You charged me £1 over the going rate for the postage."
Yeah, charging you know, for me petrol, mate.
Well, so I want to try and get the postage spot on, because otherwise people just don't stop moaning.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, the other option, Dean, is you do have Discord. We've got a buy sell swap that people do that all the time.
I could put it on there, and at least, you know, I guess if I do it that way, it's going to be one of our listeners. They know it comes from a good home. If there is any problems, you know, I ain't going to knock anyone.
Yeah.
So
probably get someone decent the other end buying
it.
There's mostly good people.
That's the other thing that worries me. You sell something on eBay, and you know, a week later you get a message saying it doesn't work.
It's broken, and
Yeah.
So I always do, whenever I'm selling anything that's tech, and like someone's coming to pick it up or whatever, what I do is I do a short video, tiny video, and I'll do it. And I'll whatever it's like, say it's like his name's Barry or something, I'll do a video and I'll go, "Hi, Barry. Okay, I'm just doing a little video for you, mate. Here's the item. It's all working. Here's the screen on. All the keys are working. Here's the plug. As you can see, no scratches and everything." Do you like the way I'm holding the phone to show you guys, even though no one on this podcast can hear me? See what I'm doing.
See what you're doing, Ethan.
I'm demonstrating. But yeah, and then I will like WhatsApp them the video before they even get here. And they think, "Oh, what a nice courtesy. He's like, you sent me a video of it all working." But what I'm doing is basically going, if you come back to me
yourself,
and say this, if you come back and say it's bust, I will turn around and send, "You saw the video, mate. You saw the date on it. You saw, I mentioned you in it. You know it's not bust." So,
yeah.
Just to cover your back.
Yeah, you got to. You've got to.
Yeah,
so, you know, I'm very happy with this. Like I say, I recommend the Star Wars cab. Any of the others, I don't think I'd bother. But
so this is really like showing off the power of the Mister as well, isn't it, mate? Because all those machines that you're selling now.
Yeah. The Vectrex is staying. I've still got my ZX Spectrum Next, although the Mister can do most of that. It's changed recently, though. My Amstrad GX4000 has actually got home. That's staying. But pretty much everything else is going.
Wow, you're going to go ahead and clear it out?
Yeah, I was just getting fed up with the clutter and swapping leads around each time I want to use something, whereas with the Mister, you select what core it is, bang, you're done.
Perfect, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like you're keeping the things that it can't really do or like replicate.
Don't get me wrong.
Cabs, real ones. That's
my Spectrum Plus 2 that my mum and dad bought me, that stays. You know, that's. Right.
Yeah, man.
Because that's my first computer, sentimental. Also, probably, what's it called? The Pong console that I had before me, Atari 2600.
Oh, Binatone.
Binatone, that's it. That will stay. Sentimental. Because even the two Ataris that I've got, it's not the one that I had as a kid. It's the same model, but it's just sitting there gathering dust. So I might keep it, I might not. But the 7800 will probably go because the Mister just does the same job
but
with a sharper picture.
I get it.
Makes sense.
It's a hard decision. I know we talked a lot about it last
I know we're repeating a lot of things this episode, especially my moaning about selling stuff. But it's weird. I've had a change around down the shed. It still looks badly cluttered because I've got boxes of stuff where I'm, boxing them up, getting ready to get rid of them. But the layout's a lot better than it was probably. Stuff
your camera angle's changed, man. We're normally looking the other way down the shed.
That's right. Yes, I was down that end, which is PVM. Mr. Screen. I got a PC screen. Just see it behind this chair.
Cool dead man.
There you go. Nice. That's for me. The DOS cores. A406 or whatever it is. Yeah, I can't pull the camera around anymore, but yeah.
It's looking good, dude.
I'm happy with it. But I do a lot of gaming on the arcade machines now, It's games that you can play for half an hour and then leave.
I mean, the arcade experience is so much that you can't do that with a mister.
Games. That's the thing. When I've got the Mister, I was playing a lot of arcade games on it. That was before I had a cab in the house, in the kitchen. I've moved that down here. I've now got another Jammer cab, which is for the vertical games, and I've got the Star Wars cab. So most of the arcade stuff is covered. I can hook a steering wheel up to the Mister and play Outrun on that. Or I can play it on my arcade cab using a little spinner. Both are not quite right, but it's better than trying to use a joystick to play it.
Definitely.
Or a joypad.
Yeah, I agree.
Cool. So, Dino, let's address the elephant in the room. Let's talk Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. Now, on one of the 80s episodes that we'd done, we was talking about Ghostbusters Afterlife. I think this was before it actually came out. We was both looking forward to it. I enjoyed Afterlife. I know a lot of people didn't. Mm-hmm. I watched it again the other night. It was on BBC One. I enjoyed it still. I think it's not as good as the first Ghostbusters film. It's a lot different in tone, there's not so much comedy in it, but they're actually dealing with the death of Egon. I even enjoyed Ghostbusters 2, which got slagged off at the time by critics.
I love it.
I think it's a good film. Again, not as good as the original, but the original is lightning in a bottle. But this new one, my God. I had really high expectations. I thought the trailers looked okay. A lot of people said to me, no, it looks rubbish. And then the reviews come out the day before the film did, which was leaving it late. And I got the gist of some of those, even though I didn't really want to watch them. People were telling me, apparently it's rubbish. And I thought, nah, it'll be all right. I'm a Ghostbusters fan. I'll enjoy it. And I bit them. The film is it's a mess. It's too many cast members, silly scripts. Silly storylines. I was really, really disappointed with it.
So we won't spoil much because Mark hasn't seen it and might want to go and watch it with his kids. We won't spoil the plot.
Yeah, I'd still like to see it. And I really enjoyed Afterlife. So this is really kind of disappointing. I'm not the biggest Ghostbusters fan, so to say, but being a kid from the 70s, it was everywhere. Yeah, loved it,
I don't dress up as a Ghostbuster or anything like that. I know a lot of people are into the cosplay thing and, they've got all the memorabilia. I've got a book, The Inside Story of Ghostbusters. I've got a Ghostbusters sign, but that's about as far as it goes, I was too old for the toys, for the real Ghostbusters cartoon. I remember watching the odd episode here and there when I was a kid, but I was too old for the toys. But I love the films, I think the sense of humour in the first two is great, especially the first one. It's such a funny film, and it's one of those magical films, It had great special effects, which I think the majority of those hold up today still. Great soundtrack, everything about it I loved. And so I really enjoyed Afterlife. I'm not ashamed to admit it. When the way they dealt with Egon's ghost and all that, and you know, the past, it teared me up. You know, it choked me up a bit. I'm saying it had a lot of heart. It was emotional. Loved it. So I had big expectations for this new film. It just, the comedy doesn't work. A lot of the storyline is weird and just, it feels so different.
Yeah, tell us about Steve.
Well, so for me, so I'm very similar to Dino. So me and Dino are massive Ghostbusters fans, and both in the build up to Afterlife and in the build up to Frozen Empire, we were chatting away on our, like, just privately to each other on Telegram and sharing new trailers and snippets and news and shots of the set. And we both were like really excited about Afterlife, went day one to watch it. And we both loved it. I was like, it's not the same as Ghostbusters because it's not. 80s Ghostbusters, especially the first film, is like, it's really like, it's loud and it's funny and it's a bit naughty and there's some swearing in it. It's bombastic and it's like, it's exciting and it's thrilling. And as a kid, and whether you watch it as a kid or you're a little bit older, when you're a kid, you love the fact that they've got proton packs and they're shooting down ghosts and they've got the car and the trap and Slimer and all this. It's amazing. And then when you're a little bit older and you watch it again, you love all these sort of adult humor in it. It's like the ghosts that are getting on the bed with Ray and like the things that, like, you know, yes, I can confirm this man has no dick. That kind of stuff. It makes you laugh, man. And it was like, it was really funny in the right places. And like, it's such a good film. And then Afterlife, it was really sentimental. It was a really sentimental film, but it was quite clever because a whole lot of the story was just like dealing with like Egon's family, and they didn't know the past, and they didn't know how great their granddad had been and how he'd saved the whale basically. And it built the story in the background of where he'd moved to. And then eventually got to the point where you realized he was still there trying to help them. And it was sort of kind of really like emotional. And it was like, it hit all the beats of like, so it was revealing to a new generation what the Ghostbusters is about, and then bringing the old ones back for the previous generation, us, and bringing Egon back. And I was like, wow, man, that really got me. I was the same with, like, when he's standing there next to the other old three and they're all looking at him, I teared up as well. I was like, this is fantastic. So I didn't have an issue with what they'd laid out as the plot of Ghostbusters so far, which was kind of setting it up with for a new generation with the Spengler family and Paul Rudd. I was okay with it because it had the old guys, it had the Egon story and all the rest of it. Jump forward to this film, and really what they have done is transitioned from having the OG Ghostbusters, those four guys who are all brilliant actors, hilarious in their own right, each and every one of them, so funny, so much interplay between them, so good. It's practically all being pushed onto the shoulders of like a 15-year-old girl. That's where the whole franchise has been pushed on, that she's the chosen one, she's the special one, it's all about this kid, it's all about her. And the problem with that is that she's not a comedy actor, there's no banter going on with any of the other characters, there's no sparring, she's a kid.
She's not even talking to the other characters a lot of the time, she's on her own.
Yeah, and she's sulking.
sulking, and she interacts, it's hard to say this without spoiling it, another character, three times she interacts with this other character, just conversations, and then...
A new character.
Yeah, a new character who's only going to be in this one film.
Hmm.
I've spoiled it already.
Yeah. It's all good.
And just does something extremely silly. Now, in the previous film, she'd been portrayed as a very smart kid.
Quirky.
Quite funny in her own right. They really made you like the character in the other film, whereas in this film, it's totally different. She's moody.
Miserable. Yeah, doesn't talk to anyone else. Yeah.
I get that for what happens, but then what she does to be with this other person she's only interacted with three times is totally stupid.
But what you've got in this new one, you've got some good characters. Even the new characters, the new Spengler family, whatever. in the first one, in the Afterlife, there's quite a lot of good banter with them, and there's loads of sparring, even with Paul Rudd and the mum and the kids and all the rest of it. It's quite funny, and it's like it's interesting and all the rest of it. Now, this time round, what you've got is the kid is just being moody and sulky for a good hour of the film with nothing exciting happening. Then you've got the brother who does nothing except
go. He doesn't even go anywhere, does he, really?
No, he goes in the loft to try and catch Slimer. That what you see in the trailer
that is
what you
pretty
see in
the much
film.
It. Yeah.
All he does. Mm. All he does. Nothing.
And that's
exciting
the other
happening.
Thing, pretty much everything decent is in the trailers.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And a lot of the stuff that is in the trailers didn't even show up
in the
film.
Some of the good things in the trailer didn't make it to the film. And that what you've also really? Got is it's like a lot of the film, like even Paul Rudd basically there to like say something funny and then get told off by the mum because he should be now acting a bit more like a dad. That's the role. And the mum's just the mum who's going, why have you said that? You need to tell them off. That's all you're getting from this cast now, this ensemble. It's like, it's not funny. It's not exciting. There's no sparring. It's like, it's kids sulking. Everything that's going on in the background, you don't even see. It just goes off into the background. So it just focuses on the kids sulking. The only funny person in it for me, Bill Murray's funny in it when he's in it, but he's barely in it. And then it's the Indian guy, what's his name? The fire master in it.
I can't remember the character or the actor's name.
He was in Silicon Valley.
And he plays a good part. Yeah.
He's the comedy relief in the film, and he's the only one who carries any humour.
Yeah.
And I just like, oh my God, this is painful. And like one of the things that really annoyed me, right, is when you watch the trailer to the film, it sets it up so that it looks like early on in the film, like the sea starts to freeze and all this frozen stuff starts to happen to the world. And like something's happened. Everyone's running off the beach and like ice blocks are shooting up everywhere. And it's like people are running in terror. And for me, I was like, oh, so what's going to happen is this thing invades New York and they're going to have to get the Ghostbusters back together to find out what it is and hopefully defeat it. But that's not what happens at all. The whole frozen stuff happens in the last 15 minutes of the film. The rest of it just plodding along.
Oh, man.
And then that frozen bit is all done and dusted within 15 minutes.
Mm.
It was, man. So the thing for me is, and I can't remember if it was you I was saying it to, Dean, or I've argued with so many people about this. But I really have. But the thing is now, for me, the way it should have gone, what they should have done is handed to the next generation should have still been adults, right? So for me, if they'd handed Ghostbusters from the original four to four more really good comedy actors that we all know and love. So for me, I was like, what if the next team had been like Paul Rudd, Jack Black, Kevin Hart, Seth Rogen? That was your new Ghostbusters team.
Mm.
It would have been hilarious.
Yeah, they still could have had this, you know, Phoebe character on the sidelines.
Yeah.
Maybe just inventing stuff for him or something. But yeah, you're right. Yeah. It doesn't work. And, you know, obviously the way this ends, it hints that there'll be another one. It'll be interesting to see how it does. It's done well at the box office for his first weekends. I don't know how it's done over this weekend. Which
it's been battered now by Godzilla.
I would have thought so, yeah.
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 Do you know what I also would have done? Sorry, I'm just still making my own version up. My own version up. So my handover would have been to those comedy actors. What I would have done, right, is I would have added a female comic to that lineup. And I would have added, was it Kirsten Wiig, who was in Answer the Call?
Right.
I'd have put her in.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd have put her in. I'd still abandon the whole Answer the Call plot. Forget it ever existed. But I would show the fact I never thought Answer the Call was crap because it had
women in it.
It was
not
women
to do
in it.
With having women in it. No,
it was
just
crap because it was crap.
It was a forgettable film, wasn't it? It was
like
just,
this one.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
It's the same thing, you know what I mean?
But the trouble is, you know, because that was a reboot, that's one of the reasons it didn't work and it annoyed a lot of people. But at least with that, it was a reboot and you thought, well, it does tarnish the Ghostbusters name, but it doesn't because really it's got nothing to do with the originals.
Yeah, it hasn't trod over the plot. It's just
one has, you know, it's supposed to be the fourth film of the original.
In the canon. Yeah,
in the canon. And it's kind of tarnished it, you know. It's it's a shame. It'll be interesting where they go from
next. I mean, could they have changed? Yeah. Is it just because it's like 90% of the story is super boring and lame,
think,
and then you
I
get that last little bit?
I think there's a problem with the editing. I think,
yeah,
from what I can, my thinking is that the film originally was meant to run a lot longer, and the Sony bosses have said, no, you've got to cut so much back. We only want it for just under 2 hours. Don't get me wrong, the storyline still would have been dodgy, but it's such a disjointed film. Because you've got so many characters in it, they don't get to breathe. Do you know what I mean? You don't really get to know them properly, or it's like they focused on the wrong bits. Whereas, it's just
it's
a mess.
Sloppy. It's so sloppy. So I said this to Dean the other night, and I read somewhere online in a couple of places now that there was a thing where this may have been being pitched as a TV series for like Netflix or something, where it would have been 6, 8, 10 episodes. And for me, that makes sense then. If you've got all these characters, but you've got 10 episodes, then you can dive into like one of the like podcast and the girl or whatever for like some of that episode and learn about the lab. And then another episode where you're diving in with the Spenglers and developing the whole plot behind the scenes, and it can all be spread out and spaced and given room to breathe. But to ram it all into the one film, it's like, oh, we've got 25 characters now. Just shove them all in. Shove them all in. We'll give him one line. We'll give them two lines. See, that'll be funny, and then that won't be. We'll just stick it in anyway. It's just a mess. It's just a mess.
Yeah. I went into this film with as much an open mind as I could because, like I say, in 1989, I remember Ghostbusters 2 getting a really bad review. I saw that review the night before I went to see the film, and I thought, it's going to be rubbish. And yet I come out of there, don't get me wrong, I was a lot younger, but I loved that film.
I love Ghostbusters 2. I've got no problem. It's not as good as 1. But
no, and it does feel a bit different. They definitely toned it down a bit. No one, do they smoke in it? I don't think they do. It's more, the cartoon had been out, so Janine looked a bit more like a animation model and things like that. But, it was still enjoyable. And like I say, Afterlife, I really enjoyed. This film, it just doesn't work. It's not funny.
I said to you the other night, Dino, and it feels to me a little bit, because of where it's gone with the plot and with the family and all the rest of it, and like they're putting it down, putting it onto the shoulders of this kid now, that it kind of tainted Afterlife for me as well. Because I now know that that's the linchpin from the old guys to the new guys.
I thought the same, but like I say, I watched it the other night. Well, I think you were watching it. I still enjoyed it, you know.
I was going to say that. Yeah, in the end, I still got the warmth, like the feels for Afterlife when I watched it again. But my biggest issue with the whole thing, right, is that, like I sort of said before, they've transitioned this from 4 adults comics who are hilarious and brilliant onto the shoulders of 1 15-year-old kid.
Yeah.
And for me, what they've really actually done is you've taken it from a horror comedy with adult humor in it every now and then to a kid's adventure film. And I don't know if that's on purpose, but now you can just see the Sony execs going, oh, the family can go and they'll take the kids and there's no swearing in it and the kids will want the toys.
The thing was, like, though, there was swearing in it. Don't get me wrong, it's really not much. But there was a bit of swearing in it, and I don't know, the storyline, it's sort of a love interest between Phoebe and someone, and it just weren't what I was expecting. And I've got no problem with if they had developed the friendship a bit more, or if Phoebe had known this person before, because it's a ghost. Okay, I'm going to spoil it. Phoebe falls in love with a ghost. A female ghost.
Yeah.
No, I ain't got a problem with that whatsoever. No. But maybe if they had it so it was one of, I don't know, a girl Phoebe had known years before or had met before she died, and do you know what I mean? Kind of, it's like I say, they speak. I say interact. They literally have 3 conversations, and Phoebe's laying her life on the line to be with this ghost.
Yeah, yeah. And you just can't but think it's just ticking a box.
I couldn't buy into it. Yeah. I just couldn't buy into it.
They're ticking a box, man. I haven't got any problem with like being like progressive and stuff and inclusive and all the rest of it. It's all very cool, but you could just see some executive in the background going, we could just hint that she likes girls. We won't go all the way. And I heard some another podcast talking about it, and they said the term is passive progressive.
Oh my God. And
what it means is they didn't go all. So they hint that there's something going on with the two of them, but they don't go far enough for it to be something they go, oh, she might be. Whoa. Well, they don't do it. You know what I mean? But I was like, yeah, that's quite funny. Passive progressive. It's like, we'll do it, but we won't do it all the way. Do you know what I mean? But I was like, and apparently as well, and once again, I haven't really got a problem with this, but the video review you sent me, Dean, one of the first ones where the guy just nailed all the things that was wrong with it. Apparently, yeah, like that Phoebe's referred to as they, them for the entire film. And I didn't get onto it.
I didn't pick up on that during the film, but
no.
And yet, watching Afterlife, she is described as a she and her, yeah, and what have you.
Yeah, now but she's
saying, I haven't got a problem with that aspect of the story. The problem I had was,
The story,
it just didn't make sense. It's just, she didn't spend enough time with that person to develop those feelings.
Yeah.
Where you'd, it's hard to explain without spoiling it. You know, I don't want to spoil too much of it, but she does something really silly, which I don't think you'd do only having three times.
One conversation with somebody.
And we don't want to say what it is, but when you actually go do anyone goes and does watch it, if you actually sit and think about what it is that she's done in reality, it's actually ridiculous.
It's quite dark as well.
It's really, it's ridiculous. Say,
they're aiming it at a kid's film. Well, what she does is really stupid, and, I wouldn't want to be putting that in the heads of kids.
Yeah.
Myself.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's just, like I say, it's just, I don't know. They just didn't work the plot out correctly. They haven't worked the pacing out. There's too much cast in it. They've definitely been trying to tick some boxes, and there's nothing wrong with that, but just make a good film, please.
Yeah.
That's not what's important. The important thing is a good plot and good characters and people you believe in and rooting for. Don't just shove stuck in, we tick the box there, and we tick the box here, and we've got this now. Just give me a good film, please. And you didn't. And yeah, so final score, Dean. We've had a week to
yeah, you've been stewing on it for a week.
Stew so on it. Go on. I come out and give it a 6 out of 10 at the time, but I think I was being nice.
Yeah, I'm thinking more 3 or 4 out of 10, and this is coming from someone who loves the franchise.
Same. Yeah.
I'll go with that. The best bit was the end bit once the Ray Parker Jr. theme finally kicked in. Yeah, that's another thing. I didn't use that at the beginning, which they normally,
like in the original, they have a montage with the song going and they're all suited up. So
you
know, cool.
You go and see these films for a bit of feel good factor, I think, and there weren't much of that in it. Everyone moaned about Ghostbusters 2, everyone's moody in it. Yeah, that was part of the storyline, but it was still funny. They made fun out of that. You know, it was a fun film to see. Yeah. This isn't that much fun.
That's a drag.
Yeah, it's a shame. When you're sitting there, and it was, I took a picture of the cinema when I first got there, and there was hardly anyone in there, but just before it started, it did fill up, and no one laughed. No one laughed during the whole showing of the film. And, I'm sitting by myself. I didn't have people right around me, but I'm thinking to myself, if they're not laughing and I'm not laughing,
who's laughing?
I can see this. Yeah, who's actually finding this funny? And I've seen some reviews, and some people seem to love it. I don't know if they're in denial or if they saw a different film to what I've seen, but it's just not a good film. I'm sorry. I had my heart set on this. It'd be
same.
Good.
We've been waiting for months, haven't we? We've been talking about it for absolutely months since the announcement, the trailers and everything. We've been following it. Really exciting. I'm on the Facebook group for official Ghostbusters and stuff, and I've argued with people. And they've been calling me, you're such a baby. That's what they were calling me. I was like, well, you're really, that's quite the burn. Thanks. You're such a baby. Because I was saying, are you happy with handing it from 4 comic heavyweight actors to a kid? And they're like, yeah, it was great. And I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah.
There was a YouTube video, it was a review, and the guy pretty much said what I was thinking. So I commented and said, unfortunately, I didn't enjoy it either. And someone replied, no one cares what you thought.
No, I know. It's maybe sad, though, isn't it?
But I'm just stating a fact. I didn't enjoy it, and I know a lot of other people who didn't. So
I sent Dino a clip yesterday, and I think it was called the screen reading or something. The pitch meeting, sorry.
The pitch meeting, yeah.
The pitch meeting, and this guy's taking the mickey, basically.
He rips it apart, doesn't
he? He rips it apart, man, but he's doing the pitch. He's got it so right, but he's doing the pitch. It's basically him playing the two parts, but he's like him playing the doing the pitch and the boss listening to him. And he's like going, so what we're going to do is we're going to have 25 characters, right? But we never get to really talk to any of them. But that'll be cool, man. And he's like, really? And he's like, yeah. But my favorite bit was right at the end. He goes, so inside the firehouse, they'll all defeat the ghosts, right? And everyone will be happy with that. And then when they come outside the firehouse, oh, everyone will be cheering. All the people in crowds will be cheering because the Ghostbusters have saved the world. He goes, how did they know what they were doing inside the firehouse? Don't worry about it. It was like, oh, man. Yeah. But, yeah, it was poor, man. It was crap. So let's move on. Let's move on. We've vented. We got it out of our systems. Yeah, I feel a bit better.
Anyone who's not into Ghostbusters or just there for the games will be thinking, my God, I've gone about this film a lot.
To tell you, like, is this a Game Club episode? This is what you get with us, man. You just get it all.
It's variety.
Variety, man.
Lots of venting. Yeah. It's going to be more venting going on here as we slide into skid marks. You know, did you like that transition? Was that
smooth?
Very
man.
Good. Very good.
You just made this Ghostbusters review skid to a halt.
Oh, wow. There you go.
Do you like that?
My gosh. Well, so, I mean, Mark, there's nothing skid, new with me.
Mark.
Nothing new with Mark. Me. So I'm going to, I think we're just going to slide right on in here to the super skid marks.
We've been avoiding this. Come on, let's do it. Let's get out of the way.
It's going to be
the apology at the start.
We don't have Chris with his methodical. I don't even know how he would even take this, honestly. He's so good at storytelling and transitioning into like what the story is about of the game. There is no story of this game.
There is no story.
It's a racing game.
Chris has transitioned into Japan to get away from it.
Yeah, it's true. He's got as far away as he can before he starts coming back towards the UK. Okay, Super Skid Marks. It looks like came out in 95 from what I can see. Came out, which I didn't actually know. It actually came out on the Genesis. So there is a version for the Genesis / Mega Drive, also called Super Skid Marks. Came out in 95. Just to refresh your memory, this game got put up against, for our vote, Benefactor, Flink, and Super Methane Brothers. It kind of it was 21 out of 50 votes, so it kind of took the majority. And I think looking back, and this is part of the reason why me, Chris, and Mads decided to only put the vote into Discord, was we think that maybe the vote got skewed because people do have some, from what I can review and see, people like the original skid marks. Kind of like what you were saying, right, Steve?
Mm-hmm.
The original skid marks apparently is loved. I don't know these games. These are, Amiga stuff is way, way far removed.
See,
I
like the demo of it. If you remember me saying, I played the hell out of the demo, and then when the full game came out, it wasn't as good as the demo. But wasn't this, or was it, I'm sure that this was written in Blitz Basic or something.
Yeah, I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, that's what they say. That's what they say.
I put it on earlier today, just while I was testing my Amiga CD32, and it didn't. I'd forgotten how rough it was around the edges, like presentation style.
Oh man, it's poor.
So I listen to a lot of the Amigos podcast, and they do games on public, like they call them PD games, right? The public domain.
Public domain, yeah.
This, and maybe it's because it's I don't know, is Blitz Basic just, I don't even know what that is. Is that just a version of Basic? But
The Amiga, you had different, it was basically a package that you could buy to make games yourself.
Okay.
You still had to code. It weren't like click and place stuff info. You know, it's quite.
So what was the other one called? There was another, Amos.
Yeah.
So basically what they were a package that you could buy that would give you access to some of the hardware on the Amiga. Because if you just coded in Basic, it would be rubbish. but these packages allowed you to sort of tap into the metal a little bit. So they give you okay. access while using normal code. I think it converted to like C++ or something. We need a Mads or a Chris with some experience and knowledge and actually know what they're talking about for this bit. But that's my guess.
Got it.
Something okay. like that. Sounding so important.
This game feels like a public domain game to me from what I've seen and what I've, you know, when I've listened to Aaron and Boat go on about different public games. But this to me is also better in regards to it's very smooth. There are a lot of positives, and I want to make sure we touch on some of the positives.
Yeah, it's the thing. I think it depends. Like I say, with the first game, I remember really enjoying it. I don't think I played Super Skid Mark, so when it came, I might have done, but it's probably the disc-based version, and I probably only tried one mode of it. Were you saying about the championship?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you've got different modes where you could just start your single race, and if you just kind of default, play the car that's there, you can kind of change through the tracks. It took me, I don't know, usually one or two tries. Sometimes on the first try, I would get first place. There were times where the track is a little more difficult. You learn it, maybe four or five goes, and boom, you get first place. That seemed to be, from what I can, you know, with some of the other people in Discord, I think even you as well, Steve, in our Telegram chat early on when we were talking, you kind of said the same thing. Like, it works. It's great. Then you go to championship mode, and everything changes. Like your car goes really fast. It's really slippery and it feels like you can't control it. And I know Matt, and I wish he was here to defend. He really wanted to be on this one. I feel bad. Cause he wanted to defend this game because he was like, you just have to get good. It's a racing game. I'm like, Matt, dude, I love racing games. This is not one that I feel like I could get better at. I mean, every time you hit the wall and you basically go right to last place almost instantly, and then you just can't catch up. I mean, there's just, it's almost impossible. I mean, and that's how I felt. But, you know, and it's like, I don't even know what the point of the single player racing was if you can't actually, you know, use that into championship mode. I mean, your car is just too fast.
So my initial experience with this, and when I first started talking about it in the Telegram after we'd chosen it, is I played it on a Steam Deck, and I played the initial, not the championship mode, but the initial levels that you've just been talking about.
Yeah.
And I did the same thing. I was like, with a couple of goes, I was coming first. And I jumped into the Telegram chat, and I pretty much went, I don't know what everyone's complaining about. This is great. And I, at that moment, I thought it was, because I was like, it's fast, but it's really quite controllable. It's responsive. It's smooth. Yeah,
for those who haven't played the game and don't know what we're talking about, it's an isometric sort of
off-road
style game, or Ivan's off-road racer, or whatever it's called.
Yeah, Iron Man thingy, off-road. Yeah,
Ivan Stewart.
And what's the rare game on the NES?
RC Pro-Am, which we played last year.
RC Pro-Am, yeah. Which is, this doesn't, does it scroll? Yeah, it does scroll,
yeah,
doesn't
yeah,
it?
It does, yeah. A bit.
Yeah. So it plays similar to those kind of games, you know. It's look, I find those games quite frustrating at times because you do hit a wall and, you know, the car sort of like ricochets all around the place. Earlier on when I was testing, so I was filming the screen at the same time, just sending a video to the guy saying I'm trying it on the real hardware, and I just held down accelerate and the car literally bounced off the walls but was going around the track without having to control it, you know. It's quite funny.
It's what's bizarre is, like, so like I say, if you play those original tracks, and I think those original tracks are from Skid Marks 1. Right. Because I had to go on the Amiga version, the normal version, and then the same tracks without the championship ones, from what I could see. It was just those other ones. And it's quite well balanced, it's quite well played. And in my head, when I tried that, I thought in my head, I was like, well, the championship mode's just gonna be like this, but a bit harder. And if I can do this on when I'm practicing and I can come first, surely if they just ramp it up a touch so it's a little bit harder and a bit more tricky, and maybe my car goes a bit faster than the other ones do, this is going to be really good, and we can do it online as well, and that'll be great. And then I tried the championship mode and I was like, what is this? Because there's such a massive disconnect between those original levels and the championship mode. It's like the cars are at least twice as fast, at least. And so uncontrollable. Like you hit a jump on some of them, you will go past the end of the track and it knocked, boom, right the way to the end. And then you have to stop and sort of turn yourself around and try and pick up speed. You hit any jump at any kind of decent speed, you will just go absolutely flying. And like also on the original levels, if you hit the sides of the track, it just slows you down a bit, but you can sort of keep going. When you do it in championship mode, you just like practically stop.
Stop, right. Yeah.
Stuck.
Yeah.
And then, and the other problem is that all the AI drivers in the championship mode are unbelievably good.
Of course.
Like, no, yeah. You've got to get to the front. You've got to stay there pretty much. And the thing I found is this is what proves the point of how good they are, that no matter which race it is and no matter how well you are doing, they will all finish within about 2 seconds of each other. They go bam, 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 bam. It's not like one of them finishes like 5-6 seconds later. They all finish so close to each other. So that tells me they're all going round that track. They're pelting round. And you've got no chance.
That's right. So in the regular racing mode, there are, you could change your vehicles and you can change like the, how they control. And there's different like types. And I wrote pedal car. There was one called pedal car mode. It was so slow, right? I mean, I actually was lapping the computer, the AI. It was so slow. And what I hated about that is once I won the race, you know, like in other racers, it was just like, okay, the game would end and you'd start back over.
Wait.
You have to wait for them to for the AI to finish. So you're sitting there waiting. So I thought that was kind of ridiculous. There was one called Zippy, and Zippy felt kind of like how the championship mode was set up. Basically very similar. And I think it starts you, the default, I think, was classic. And that's where it felt, like I said, like you were saying, when you first played it, you're like, oh, this is great. I mean, I felt the same thing. I just went, okay, start a race, you know, and a little challenging, but not overly challenging. Anybody could, I think, could beat those pretty quick. But yeah, I don't understand the disconnect between that and championship. I don't know how you get any better. But on the positive note, it was super smooth. I feel like this game could have been Ivan Stewart's Off-Road, which is a game that I love. I mean, that arcade game is awesome. It's super off-road on the NES was really fun. And I feel like this game being an Amiga CD game or a 16, 32-bit type game should have just been absolutely stunning. And it's such a letdown.
That's what I was hinting at with the presentation, you know. For unfortunately, the Amiga CD32 had a lot of shovelware. Games were just, it was the Amiga version just transferred over. I think with this, all they had done, because if you load it up on an Amiga, you've got to use a mouse to get through the menus. Whereas the Amiga CD32 version, you can just use the joypad
to
scroll through. But it looked very rough. There's a bit of garbage on the screen as it's loading. They haven't really...
Pong, for no reason.
Yeah, you got Pong.
Yeah, Pong as it's loading. It's probably the best part of the whole game.
Yeah. Pong's not a bad game. It just felt, you know, it was a very, I don't know, cheap conversion. They could have jazzed it up for the console, and it may well be quite nicer on the Mega Drive. I've never looked at that version, but it doesn't really sell the Amiga CD32, let's put it that way.
No.
It's shovelware. I was reading that according to Wikipedia, it says that they think it was originally designed just to be an upgrade disc for the original.
Right.
And it, you know, the publishers wanted a sequel, so maybe they added a bit more to it, yeah.
I see.
So it was released as a sequel rather than just an add-on disc. But I think the magazines at the time loved it.
They did, and that's what's crazy. I mean, it seemed like it was getting 80s and 90s. And that to me, and you know, again, my Amiga knowledge.
It was published towards the end of the Amiga's life, you know.
Yeah. And it makes you wonder, were they like, yeah, it's a great game. Come buy it. Please buy our Amiga software, right? I mean, again, the Amigos guys have talked about that a little bit, where they think sometimes towards the end of the Amiga, you know, the Amiga formats and those type of magazines were like, just get, you know, please don't let our Amiga die. But I don't know. There was 8 championship modes. And I'm like, 8. That's a lot. And honestly, where I think the game shines, and besides the way that I feel like the game is really smooth and the way the cars move up and down the ramps and the tracks, I feel like that's actually really nice. I love the how many different cars. Like, you know, there was one that looked like the Starship Enterprise, like the Star Trek Enterprise. There's like motorcycles. There's all these different, but they don't really do anything different. They don't slide, you know, they don't drift, or they don't do anything. But at least the presentation in that regard, I think, is really cool. There's a lot of customization involved, and I think that's kind of fun. I mean, that's a high, a plus or a bonus. The one thing we didn't talk about yet is it's got low and high res. Did you guys tinker with that at all?
I did. Yeah. So I initially thought, oh, this is going to help. So I switched it to high res where I could zoom out from the track, and the car was a lot smaller. And initially I was thinking, oh, this is better. And then I was like, oh no, I'm still coming last.
Yeah.
It hasn't made much difference, didn't actually help. But I can see a bit more where I'm going, but it didn't really help.
Yeah. Yeah, and I thought the same thing. I thought it was going to be kind of neat, but yeah, it just kind of gives you more of a zoomed out. Almost, you can almost see the full track on most of the tracks.
Is it flickery didn't. When it does that?
No, it was quite good. No. I didn't notice it flickering. It just does smack of being a public domain game, really.
Mm.
It's just like the Pong thing on the main screen and the scruffy menus and stuff. And yeah, it's like a well-built public domain game that's got good reviews. But like you said earlier on, this is why I ended up choosing it, because I remember the reviews. I remember people raving it. Have you played Skidmark? It's cool, man. Really good.
Well, like I said, I remember playing the demo of the first game and really, really enjoying it. But I was playing that probably against my cousin. You know, I think with these games, the multiplayer aspect of it works really well. But as a single player game, it lets it down.
I was trying, you know, an hour or two before we were recording, I was trying to get somebody to play with me on Discord. Nobody even commented. I just got laughing emojis. So nobody tried to play on Amiga Live with me. Steve tried to, but
couldn't get it working.
Yeah, couldn't get it. Apple and Amiga Live's having some issues, I think, with the newest software update or something. But yeah, and again, unfortunately, we didn't see Brett. Brett, you should have messaged me, mate. You should have done it. But we could have. It probably would have been better if we could have had some kind of an online race with some of the people. Might have made for maybe a little more enjoyment.
Well, it's a shame that no one else has enjoyed it, because I think there's certain aspects of the game that can be enjoyable.
Yeah.
By the sounds of it, I didn't play the championship at this. Rounds on it.
Well, Steve did a quick call out and said, hey, you know, let's read off some people's comments to see if anybody would want to.
I'm just looking at them.
Yeah, I'm just pulling them up too. It looks like somebody just,
we've got some a big one at the end.
Yeah, big one at the end that he only 15 minutes ago, so he we'll see.
So basically what I did was I just thought everyone's absolutely hated this game, and I should give them the opportunity to tell us just how much they hated it, because they've had to put up with it for a month if they've played it much. But so I just thought I'll stick it on Discord and just ask, you know, if you want to give us a little review, positive, probably negative, and we read them out. So should we read some of them out? Can you see them, Dean, or do you just need me and Mark to do it?
If you two don't mind doing it, because my eyes are getting worse and I'm having trouble seeing.
Should we do them in turns, Mark?
Yeah, let's do it. Can you see?
Okay, we'll go first. So the first response I got was from King Trilo, and he said, Skidmarks isn't very good, The end.
The end. Stephen James, he writes, how about, quote, the best thing that can be said about skid marks is that it lives up to its name.
Zilog Z84 megahertz, he said, at least I got to ask my mate if he used to have skid marks.
Monsterhide Rich, he says, I really struggled with skid marks this month. The game, not the fecal matter. It was probably the first game I ever tried for the game club that really hasn't aged very well at all. I love an isometric racer, but the controls here are too fiddly and the difficulty level is too steep for me. I did, however, seek out some other isometric racers, such as RC Pro-Am and Motorstorm RC, which to me are much more enjoyable. Keep up the good work, you guys.
Motorstorm RC was on the PS3 and it was absolutely superb.
Yeah, I've never tried that one.
It's very, very good. So I then dropped another message to everyone because I think they were just giving us proper reviews potentially. So I said, by the way, when I said give us a review, please feel free to go to town on how bad you think it is. So then we've got Namcos and he said, I think I've got enough time to have a bash of the first one, so I have something to compare the sequel. Okay, so he said, so give me a second. He says, okay, Super Skid Marks. It was difficult with the standard default settings of 8 cars, 7 AI and 1 player. And there was an annoying bit where if you hit the edges, you come to a complete stop. Whereas in the first game, there was a slight hit with the acceleration, but it was easy to recover from. There's more tracks than the original, tweaks to the car handling, as I found the first one too easy to oversteer, and the The AI has improved a lot. It's definitely one of those experienced. It's definitely one for those experienced in skid marks, but not so much for new players. If you have to start with this one, I'd reduce the cars down to 1 AI and a player, which will definitely give you a fighting chance and a good way to learn the tracks. On a side note, when I've heard other people talk about skid marks, they refer to the first game. I've not heard much talk about super skid marks. Lastly, I just want to remind you people about Epic Skid Marks, the online version of this game where you can race other people. We didn't look at that. We should have had that.
Ooh, that sounds, so well, that could be good.
Yeah. Yep. That one could have been good. And Nemkos, I called him out on this because he's been playing it and streaming it a lot during the month.
Giving it a go. I apologize, yeah. Namcos, man. That's all my fault. Sorry, mate.
And it was interesting because he was like, yeah, so early on, and that's something we haven't touched on, you can actually change the car. So everybody's driving different cars. You can take out AI. So and that's what he did. He thought, well, maybe if I pull out all of the AI except for one, so it's just one-on-one, gives you a fighting chance, maybe, you know, maybe it makes it a little more enjoyable, which is what he found.
Fair enough.
And I found that kind of interesting. Okay, so we had Spaz Attack says I spent more time getting super skid marks running on my Steam Deck than I did playing it. My first round with the minis felt all right, placed decently, so I decided to hit the championship and everything felt completely different, a lot more twitchy and slippery. Got frustrated and took a break and then just kind of forgot about it. Yeah, which it's I mean, everybody's basically saying exactly kind of how we felt.
So King Trilo, he said, I've played it before. I didn't bother.
And Mads chimed in with Spaz Attack, and he says that it was his experience as well. Basically with playing it, it's okay. Going into the championship felt ridiculous. Now we got a couple. So then, we got a long one here from Laurent. Here he just posted as we've been recording. So,
well, Laurent says so. He's okay. It's probably too late, but just in case, here's my review of Super Skid Marks. Super Skid Marks has the privilege of belonging to a select group of Amiga games, the ones that I loved enough to buy. I got impressed enough by the first version and its glowing reviews that I endeavored to buy Super Skid Marks as soon as I finished reading its reviews in the magazines. The game is a technical marvel, smooth scrolling and physics, multiple players, split screens, gorgeous graphics and animation, played in orthographic perspective, which most people usually call wrongly call isometric. It offers tracks which are not simple flat circuits, but contain many bumps, jumps, and curved surfaces. Those can be tricky to negotiate, but with practice, those cares will be put to good use to gain an edge over the other players, since the game physics is complex enough to allow skidding and making use of curved surfaces to corner more efficiently. True, nowadays it's easier to see the limits of its gameplay. The collisions with other cars and the roadside are not forgiving enough and make the game less fun for a pack of newbies to enjoy together. As soon as one of them to negotiate the above-mentioned pitfalls, he will leave the others in the dust. But back then, it simply had no competition on any platform. To enjoy skid marks nowadays requires the patience of playing it alone for at least an hour every day until its rougher edges are mastered. Only then will its true greatness become apparent. Make sure to choose players of the same level for multiplayer games, or you'll be in for a lot of pain and frustration. Fun fact, see my comment above. Thanks, Laurent. You are very welcome for us choosing this game for you. I'm glad you enjoyed it, because at least someone did. So obviously he was really well-versed in it back in the past, and he knows the full ins and outs of how to master it and how to play it properly and get stuck into it. I think a lot of people just didn't have the patience to get past that hour mark. I know I didn't. Or just were just a bit too frustrated to get to that stage where you were good at it.
And I'm just impressed. I mean, honestly, it's so fast and twitchy. I don't know how you could get good at it, honestly. Honestly. And I mean, you know, I feel like lots of games, even early on, you know, some of them were kind of twitchy, but I just don't see how you could get better at this. Whereas a lot of other ones, you feel like, you know, with the time, you can master a track. But you know, good on you for buying it. It was enough for he bought it back in the day. So
look, I'm going to take the positive for this. Laurent, this episode was for you, man. You're welcome. Please feel free. We did it for you. We did this for you, man. So please feel free to go and give us a 5-star review on iTunes. Tell everyone how good this episode was. We love you, man.
Big round of applause for
Laurent. Thanks, Laurent. He probably does. I hope he does. Thanks, Laurent. He's a silver lining in a cloud full of skies.
There had to be someone out there who
enjoyed it. Liked it. Yes.
Yep. Yeah. Somebody liked it.
Justified.
Yeah, that's it.
Nice one.
Well, God, I mean, I'm done and dusted with Super Skid Marks. I'm kind of excited to go into next month doing some 3D platforming. You guys going to jump in on some N64 next month?
Do you know, see, that's the thing, right? I think we were stitched up. The guys obviously wanted to do Amiga CD32 focused game club. Then they've realised there's no good games on the Amiga CD32. Let's forget that bit and we'll get them two idiots who are on the other shows. They'll do it and we'll stitch them right up. So they've done a run and they've stitched you up and all, Mark.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And then they thought, oh, I know. The N64, what was it good at? 3D platformers. There's loads of good games on, you know, in that category, that genre. They're onto a winner. Everyone loves 3D platformers, apart from Steve, who don't like the N64 full stop. But
yeah,
it's rubbish. He's right, though. We didn't see them for dust, man. The second that vote finished, and they just abandoned toys out of the pram. This isn't what we wanted to win. See you later. And then all the chat became, suddenly it was our episode and we've got to do it. And I think we were doing you a favor picking those games.
Thrown under the bus.
And Mads has been really jonesing for an Amiga game lately. He's been after me for all the racing games and stuff we've been playing. But I don't know. Sorry, Mads. Sorry that what the people are voting for things I'd like. I don't know. I don't know what to tell him.
This is it, man. We're very popular.
You know what we should have said? Lotus.
Yep.
The Lotus games on the CD32.
We should have. I should have probably played some of them before I put the list together.
Yeah.
But, you know, honestly, it's okay. I think it's good that we get games like this popping in once in a while.
They can't all be good, can they?
They can't all be perfect. I mean, it's okay to play a bad game once in a while. I mean, they're not all, you know, sunshines and rainbows. I don't know.
I mean, I will say, Mark, that I did advise you. I've done this twice now.
You did.
I did it in the 8-bit wars. Don't pick Commodore 64
R-Type. Don't pick R-Type. R-Type. Yeah, I'm still hearing about that.
And then I did it in this. I don't think you respect me, Mark.
I don't think you respect my opinion.
You don't listen to me.
He's going to go watch Ghostbusters and enjoy it.
He's going to tell us how good it was. This is brilliant. Probably the best one they've ever made.
Yeah, that's right. Like, I don't even know what these guys are talking about. Why did they go on for 25 minutes on how bad Ghostbusters was? This is the best movie of the year.
Sorry about it, folks.
Nah, I know. It's good. I think everybody enjoys movies these days, and so it's all good. And you know what? I was just telling my wife, I had Good Friday off, so we thought about going to a movie because all the kids were at school. And so I looked, I was like, there's really nothing out there I'd really want to go see. There's just not a lot out there. So you kind of, I don't know, when you get a movie that comes up, it's kind of exciting these days. So I don't know.
I don't go to cinema very often. In fact, I did Ghostbusters, and the one time before I went, that was Ghostbusters Afterlife. That was the only go-to things I like really, really want to watch. Mm. That's it. And the second one cost me about 40 quid, an absolute waste of money.
Yeah, it's expensive to go these
days. Two cinema tickets, hot dog, drinks, and a crap film.
Waste of a couple hours. But
yeah, man.
Well, I'm excited. I just actually checked the vote. By the time this actually goes out, it will already be in April. So everybody, we'll be playing Conker's Bad Fur Day. That's the one that won.
People rave about that, and loads of swearing and stuff in it.
Yeah, just kind of an adult-flavored game for the N64. It was pretty controversial back then. I remember, the N64 was still kind of relevant when I got married.
Yeah, because that was programmed by Rare, but published by THQ, if I remember right. At least Nintendo didn't want to touch it.
Yeah. I did get one of those mature ratings. It might have been the only mature rating game on the N64. I could be wrong. I'm sure we'll dive into that as the month goes on.
Would have had Mortal Kombat on the N64. I'm sure that would have had.
Oh, sure, you're probably right. I think Mortal Kombat 4 was on there. Yeah, I don't know what I'm talking about. But I'm excited. I wanted to play this one. I played the Xbox version. It was like a sequel called Live and Reloaded, but
yeah,
not played the original. So should be fun. You guys ought to jump in and then come and come and yell at us.
It's
way too new, huh?
Don't like N64. Don't like 3D platformers, especially on the M64.
Try it on the Mister, though, Steve. It'll look better. Blurry.
It'll look better on the Mister, but nah. No thanks.
Nah.
Done my bit rescuing this episode with you guys.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Dean. If I would have done this episode by myself, it would have been horrendous. It would have been horrendous. No. It would have been a skid mark. That's for sure.
We've saved the day, sort of. Well, actually, we just turned the episode into a load of waffle about other stuff, but
that's right.
It's kind of what we do, isn't it?
Yeah, that's how it goes these days. It's all good. Cool. Well, any shout outs you guys got before we wrap this guy up?
Well, obviously to Chris, who's out in Japan having a lovely time. Mads, who's hiding somewhere. Matt is also hiding because he didn't realize we was going to record tonight. Paul Higgins, who's built his Star Wars cab today. Alex Crowley, usual lot. Yeah, anyone who knows me. Hello, Mum. And to all our lovely listeners and patron supporters and what have you. Thank you very much.
I'll give a shout out to Mads, who's abandoned us, Chris, who's abandoned us, and Matt, who's abandoned us. And I would also like to give a quick shout out as well. A friend of mine in work called Leon has started a podcast with a few of his friends. They've got a few episodes out. The podcast is called the Game Older Podcast. So Leon, Heather, Ash, Stu, and Tom, and they basically talk about new games and old games and a bit of everything. They've done a few episodes so far. I've had a listen. Really good. The most recent one, they were speaking to Tony Longworth, and he's the guy who did the music for the Jeff Minter story game thing that's out now, with the interactive game thing. That's really cool as well, and they were chatting to him on the last episode. So, yeah, if you want to have a listen to some guys who are talking about old games and new games and everything in between, give the Game Older podcast a listen, and that's on all platforms. So, yeah, there's my shout-out to them. Good luck. You're doing good. Keep going.
Awesome.
Liking it.
Sweet. Well, I'm all shattered up. I've got nothing. I can't go on beyond what you guys already did. So I think that's it. Let's get out of here. What do you say?
Let's do it.
All right.
Thank you for joining us, guys. Thanks, guys. Boys. Nice to speak to you. See you soon.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Playing so fast, they're the only ones who can take you back in time. They play old games, they're more retro than J1 Optimus Prime. At home or the arcade for adventures,